Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Tat Sat. The first item of bhakti is known as shravanam, hearing. Before one can advance to other stages of bhakti, one has to first perfect this item of hearing. The item of hearing means who and what to hear. First, what to hear. If one is interested in spiritual life, then one wants to hear spiritual topics. Spiritual topics begin with the scripture known as Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is known as Gitopanishad. The Bhagavad Gita is a summary of all the Vedic literatures. In the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Krishna instructs Arjuna at the very beginning, Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. My dear Arjuna, the Vedas mostly deal with the modes of material nature. My advice to you is to transcend the modes of nature. Transcending the modes of nature is what is the aspiration of a spiritual person. A spiritual person is aiming for liberation. In the Vedas, we have the Purusha Arthas. Dharma, Artha, Kam, Moksha. Moksha is the last item, liberation. That is the goal of a spiritual candidate. A materialist is simply interested in Dharma, Artha, Kama. But the problem is, you still remain a prisoner of this material world. There is no liberation. Liberation is for the transcendentalist, for the spiritualist. And the beginning lesson of spiritual or transcendental knowledge is given in Bhagavad Gita. The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, as is repeated by the speaker, Bhagavan Krishna, one should perform devotional service, bhakti yoga. And by surrendering to Krishna, by performing bhakti yoga, not only does one become liberated, not only does one return to the spiritual sky, the kingdom of God. But then there is a fifth Purusha Artha, or goal of life. That fifth goal, beyond moksha, beyond liberation, is known as prema, love of God. Prema is not possible on the human platform. Prema is reserved for God. But this prema, or prema dana, the ultimate treasure, is possible when one performs bhakti. And the beginning of bhakti is what we're doing right now, hearing. Tonight, I'm speaking on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam picks up where the Bhagavad Gita leaves off. And the Bhagavad Gita surrendered to him. How do we surrender? Thinking of him, worshiping him, bowing down, praying, and worshiping him. But the details is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is known as the postgraduate study of the science of God. Science of God is a term which needs to be explained. As in any science, there are procedures, and if you follow the procedures, you are supposed to get a predictable result. That is the meaning of science. So there is a science of God. It is given in summary form in the Bhagavad Gita, but the postgraduate study is Srimad Bhagavatam. Several months ago, I began giving these monthly classes on Srimad Bhagavatam. Currently, we're in the second chapter. The chapter is entitled Divinity and Divine Service. And tonight's opening verse is one of the most important verses in the Bhagavatam. To put ourselves in the right frame of mind, which is necessary, we should invoke transcendental auspiciousness. I would ask you all to raise your hands and repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This chapter, the speaker is Suta Goswami. He is answering the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya. They have assembled at that holy place, and they have asked him six very, very significant questions. And in this chapter, he has begun to answer them. Let us hear the original Sanskrit text. As Sanskrit is a reformative language, meaning by hearing it and chanting it, one improves in their character. Nashta prayeshva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yutta mashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. I would beg your indulgence, please repeat after me. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So let's take this one sloka and try to digest it. Bhagavatam is liquid nectar. Nectar is amrita, that which makes you deathless. So this Bhagavatam is also liquid nectar, but it is drunk through the ear when you pay rapt attention to the message. That is the secret of success. Trying to pay rapt attention. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam. So this is why it is important to daily hear the message of Godhead. Just like an athlete, one who wants to be a superior athlete has to do much practice and repetitions of so many different physical activities in order to become proficient. An athlete does these every day, over and over and over. Even in the Mahabharata, Arjuna would regularly practice his skills with the bow, with the sword, preparing himself for the battle which would occur down the road. He had to keep himself physically fit, and he had to practice his killing arts. So in the same way, a spiritual aspirant is a transcendental athlete and has to spend hours daily practicing various spiritual techniques. One of them is hearing this message of Bhagavatam. But if you cannot do it every day, then at least on this day, one should attend and attend with rapt attention. But then, besides just attending classes, rendering service to the pure devotee. What is a pure devotee? A pure devotee is someone who has no other desire than to love, serve, and worship God. That is a pure devotee. 24 hours a day, after day, the pure devotee is simply engaged in the process of bhakti or devotional service. Sometimes he hears, sometimes chants, sometimes worship, sometimes praying, sometimes doing service. This is the symptom of the pure devotee, constantly engaged in serving God. Just like a loving parent is constantly attentive to the needs of a child, a pure devotee is constantly attentive to worshiping God. So, if you do these two things, Sutta Goswami says, regularly hearing Bhagavatam, rendering service to such a personality, a pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. This is the main requirement of the human being. All throughout the world, people are suffering troubles of the heart. I'm not talking about coronary disease. When it says all that is troublesome to the heart, this refers to lust, public enemy number one. As Krishna pointed out in Bhagavad Gita, what is the all-devouring sinful enemy? Lust. What is lust? Lust means I want to enjoy this material world to its fullest extent. I simply want to enjoy matter, material objects. Lust. What else is troublesome to the heart? Greed. Why is there greed? Because the more I try to enjoy this material world, I cannot be satisfied. That's also pointed out by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. There's no satiation of lust. It is never satisfied. It burns like fire. And therefore, I want more and more. The millionaire, not satisfied with the million, wants 2 million. He thinks, then I'll be happy. He gets his 2 million. Now I want 3. Now I want 4. A lusty man, not satisfied with one religious wife, tries to go for 2, 3, 4. Trying to satisfy his lust, but Krishna points out in Bhagavad Gita, lust is never to be satisfied. The classic example, Ravana. Ravana was lust incarnation. He is the avatar of lust. He had a very dutiful, loving wife, Mandodari. He had a harem of women. Every night, still not satisfied, he had to have Sita. And that attachment to Sita was his fall down. His ministers, his brothers, everyone was telling Ravana as time passed, you're losing everything. You're losing your own sons because of this lust for that which you should not lust over, somebody else's wife. Big sin. But did Ravana listen? Nope. That lust consumed him. Lust and Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is so, it's right clear, there's no confusion. Krishna says, because lust can never be satisfied, once that lust is frustrated, you become angry. That has to happen. There's no alternative. Once you chase after some lusty desire, you will be frustrated and you will become angry. These things are in the heart, and these cause troubles to the heart. This is going on all over the world. The politicians, they also suffer from lust, anger, and greed. This is the real problem of the world. Lust, anger, and greed. But if you hear this message of Bhagavatam and you render service to a pure devotee, all that's causing you trouble to the heart is almost completely destroyed. Material life, material desires are like a fever. There is a normal condition. 98.7, I think. Thank you, doctor. 98.4. Very good. The idea is to maintain that nice balance. But when you have a fever, what happens? It's high. And if it gets too high, you die. 107, 108. We see you in the Brahma mortuary. So materialistic life is like a fever. Now, television, magazines, newspapers, what are they advertising? More material fever. More. Go for it. And now present human society has gone mad, chasing more material enjoyment. You've heard me say hundreds of times, they even have a capital city known as Las Vegas. So the idea is, when you have a high fever, bring it down. Come down to nice calm. That's what spiritual life is about. Bringing the material fever down. Material fever meaning trying to enjoy more and more and more and more. The problem is, you can't enjoy. How many chapatis can you eat? I can eat 6. But how many gulab jamuns can you eat? Huh? How many pizzas? Whatever it is, there's a limit. You eat too much, next day, So much suffering. Get the Gasex, please, bring. Right? Too much indulgence. So the whole key to life is bring that material fever down. That's what the mode of goodness is. The mode of goodness is calm, peaceful, controlling the senses. Materialistic life is all about running, chasing the demands of the senses as if they were wild horses. No, mode of goodness is shanti. Shanti. But what does that mean? Doesn't mean that somebody comes and blesses you. Okay, shanti. No, shanti is your business. You have to become shanti. You have to become peaceful. So how does that happen? Controlling the senses, worshiping God. And here it said, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and serve a pure devotee. Then it says, once all the troublesome to the heart is brought down, loving service unto the personality of Godhead. That is what is known as bhakti. Loving service. I could be wrong, but I don't think you look at your job as loving service. When you go to your... Do you love your boss? Oh, thank you, boss. Please give me more work. Do you do that? I know my wife doesn't in her office. Now, loving service, that is service to God. Loving, because there's reciprocation. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, as you serve me, I reciprocate. This is a very nice concept in the Bhagavad Gita. As you surrender to me, I reciprocate. Trust me, if that was not true, I would not be doing what I do for the past 40 plus years. I am living proof of Bhagavad Gita. Because when I started out, there was no guarantee. It was a big gamble. Prabhupada was saying, shave your head, wear these clothes, give up the 4 sinful activities, chant Hare Krishna, and see what happens. And I did that. And that's why 40 plus years later, here I am. Because what is taught in Bhagavad Gita is not pie in the sky. It's not something you get after you die. It's right now. You see the results. That is stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 2. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. You see for yourself how this process actually works. And once you start to see that it works, it becomes quite powerful. Because you start to see, wait a second, there's truth here. This is real. That if I surrender to Krishna, if I chant the Hare Krishna mantra, everybody chant. You start to see the change in the heart, like it was mentioned here. All that is troublesome. Trust me. I was born and raised here in America. And I am not going to chant on my beads 2-3 hours every day and not get something from it. Trust me, I'm not that kind of person. But why is it that I'm still chanting? Because Krishna reciprocates. But you have to surrender. You have to do it. That's the trick. You have to do it. Now in this verse, there is a particular name of God, Uttama Shloka. Can everyone say? God has millions and millions of names, as taught by Lord Chaitanya. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nidya Sarva Shakti. Lord Chaitanya teaches that God has millions of names, and each of those names has a particular potency. So this word, again, Uttama Shloka. This means God is that person who is so great and so wonderful that the pure devotees, when they describe him, they use very select choice words. For example, Valentine's Day. In America, they go to the shop and they try to find the right card that has the right message. When Indian culture is a little different, but American culture, the man pays his obeisances to the woman. He goes down on his knees and he proposes, "Please accept me." That's how they do it in America. Used to, I don't know what they're doing now. In my case, my wife proposed to me. That's another story. But traditionally in America, I mean, you see it. And the man presents the ring. And he uses certain words. He chooses his word. Or if there's a fight, say there's a disagreement, and they have to kiss and make up. They have to use the right language. Or even in business dealings, when you want to make a particular business deal, you have to speak very, very exact. Otherwise, you may, or if you go on a job interview, if you go to job interview, you may have such a great resume, but then there's that personal interview. And depending on how you behave in that interview, may be why you do or do not get the job. So, words do matter in circumstances. So when pure devotees are describing God, they use very select choice words. Therefore, he is known as Uttama Shloka. Everybody say. The topmost words are used. So it says here, established as an irrevocable fact. Now this is significant. Lord Chaitanya teaches that love of God is already there in everyone's heart. It's part and parcel of the soul. But in our current situation, we have forgotten our loving relationship with God. We have lost it. So when you start to surrender to Krishna and you start to perform bhakti, you are re-establishing that lost, forgotten relationship, and whatever advancement you make is irrevocable. Now let's say in this life, at the end of your life, you're able to achieve 80% perfection. Not bad. When you take your next birth, you start off at 81. I don't know where the extra 1% comes in, but you start off at 81. In other words, you continue. So it's not lost. Whatever spiritual advancement you accrue in this life, the government can't take it away. Your account is tightly sealed. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita also. Nihabikrama nashosti pratyavayo na vidyate swalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. Even a little bit of advancement can save you. You all know the story of Ajamila. Before he had become fallen, he did have some little spiritual advancement. And even though he had fallen and become most degraded, because of that little bit he did in his younger days, what did he name his son? And when the Yamadutas came, and it wasn't Halloween, when the Yamadutas came, he wasn't thinking of Narayan, he was thinking of his son who was named Narayan. And what came out? Narayan! And who came? Messengers of Narayan. That is why it is advantageous to name your children nice spiritual names like Govinda Das, Krishna Das, Radharani, so that even at the time of death you forget, you may call your child and that name will save you. So nice, huh? So helpful. I would like everybody to chant the Mahamantra one time. We will go to the next sloka. Tada rajastamo bhava kama lobadayaschaye cheta attire anavidhang stittang satve prasidati. Please repeat if you will. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes, known as passion and ignorance, lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and becomes completely happy. And this is why I joined my spiritual master's mission. That's all I wanted out of life. I just want to be happy. And I can say, and I can say to anyone, yes, I am happy. Why am I happy? Well, look at what it says here. The effects of passion and ignorance, lust, desire, and hankering disappear from the heart. And a devotee is established in goodness. Goodness means knowledge. Senses are under control. You live, you may be a student, you may be in the household, the ashram, but if you're in the mode of goodness, you're happy, peaceful. So, this heart in the two verses, Lord Chaitanya explains this very nicely. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Because even the Sanskrit word Cheta, in Lord Chaitanya's verse, Cheto Darpana, Cheta Darpana Marjanam. We're not talking about the heart muscle, but we're talking about the subtle body consisting of mind, intelligence, ego, consciousness. The brain is not the mind. According to Bhagavatam and Gita, the mind is covering the soul, is called a subtle body. And according to Kapila Dev, in the third canto of Bhagavatam, mind, intelligence, ego, and consciousness is actually one unit differentiated by different functions. And that's covering the soul, and the soul is there in the region of that heart muscle. So Lord Chaitanya says the mind is like a mirror covered by dust. We already explained lust. So in this verse, lust, desire, hankering. This is like dust on the mirror. When you're trying to shave, you don't want a foggy mirror. You want to be able to see what you're shaving. But if the mirror is foggy, you can't see your reflection. People say, if God is in my heart, why can't I see Him? That's a good question. The reason you can't see Him, your heart mirror is dirty. You can't see yourself and you can't see God, even though it's there. So first order of business, clean the mirror of the mind. That's the first order of business. Even those who do meditation, isn't that the first order of business? Clean the mind, am I correct? Those who do meditation, Rambai's doing it right now. So whatever yoga you're doing, the first order of business is to cleanse the mirror of the mind. When it's completely cleansed, you'll see not only God, you'll see the real you, not the one in the mirror. You'll see the real you. It'll be uncovered. So Lord Chaitanya has given a very easy process. In the Satya Yuga, the process of self-realization was meditation. People would spend 10, 20, or in the case of Vishvamitra, 60,000 years meditating. Can you imagine? To achieve perfection, it took that long. In the Treta Yuga, they were doing elaborate sacrifices. Very elaborate. With lots of ghee, not oil. Ghee with golden utensils. And they had expert brahmanas who would chant the mantras perfectly in the right accent and pronunciation. And these brahmanas were so powerful that amazing things would happen at these sacrifices. In the Dwarapara Yuga, there would be elaborate temple worship. What we do here is just little. In Dwarapara Yuga, the standard was so high, we cannot imitate. In Kali Yuga, the process has become the most simple and easiest. Because, don't take offense, we are the most fallen. It has to be made easy. Everything has been adjusted. It's Kali Yuga. So what is that easy process of self-realization? It is the chanting of the holy name of God. That's it. You simply have to, with your mouth, with your tongue, vibrate the holy name of God. Lord Chaitanya personally taught us. He himself chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He personally taught, and he was told by his guru. His guru told him, don't waste your time studying Vedanta. Don't do that. Just chant Hare Krishna. That's all. Lord Chaitanya was a very obedient disciple. That's what his guru said. He strictly followed it. So he chanted Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And after some time, he started to experience various bodily transformations. Tears would come from his eyes. His hairs would stand on end. His throat would become choked up. He would shiver. He would faint. So he went, Shri Shri Radha Raman Bhagavan Kija. He went back to his guru. Guru Dev, you told me not to study Vedanta. You told me just to chant. I did it, but I must be doing something wrong because look what's happening. His Gurudev smiled. Yes, I am very happy with you, my child. You have achieved complete success of chanting. Your chanting is free from offense. You have achieved perfection. Now, did he tell him to go take a vacation and go to Hawaii? No. He's already achieved perfection, and his guru has three more instructions for him. I find that very significant. Even after perfection, there's still instruction from guru. So what did guru tell him? Continue chanting. Some people think, oh, I will do meditation, I will do chanting up to this point. No. Lord Chaitanya's guru said, continue chanting after perfection. Number two, preach. Give this message of the holy name of God to everyone, which Lord Chaitanya did. And he said, stay in the association of good devotees. Because association is 90% of spiritual advancement in this life. You have to be very, very careful who and what you associate with. Your association will determine your behavior. So you have to be very, very careful what you allow yourself. Just like parents with your children, especially when the children are young, you're very protective. You don't want them wandering off. You are very, very careful what you allow your children to associate with. So a spiritual practitioner is also very, very careful what and who he associates with. Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam. Kalo nastyeva, 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 gatir anyata. The conclusion of all my preaching has to end with this message. The message that was taught to Lord Chaitanya by his guru. That in order to achieve spiritual perfection, there is only one way. There's no other way than chanting the holy name of God. And now, Gadadhar will assist along with Mahatmaji, and we will chant.
Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari, 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 Hari. Hari, 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 Hari. Hari, 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 Hari. Hari, 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 Hari. Thank you. Hari.
Everybody. Hari. 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 It is said in the Vedas that these two syllables, ha, re. Everybody say. If you can chant those two syllables, ha-ri, you have completed your study of the Vedic literatures. There is the perfection. Just have to know two syllables. What are they?
Ha-ri.
But that wasn't everybody.
Ha-ri.
Nah, come on.
Ha-ri.
May Krishna bless you, protect you, and maintain you. Hare Krishna.